So did y'all have a good Christmas? Good. Sounds like a pretty good one. Last year for my birthday, I got COVID. And this year for Christmas, I got the flu. So my family shared in that joyful experience with me. Teresa and the kids are at home, just getting better, making sure they're better. And so yeah, we don't ever know quite what we're going to get for Christmas. So I understand there's quite a bit going around. So hopefully you guys are all fairly well. I know we've got other loved ones, part of our church family, that are not with us because they are at home recovering or whatever as well. So anyway, but sounds like you guys had a good Christmas. Any coal besides Jimmy? Any coal in your stockings? Yeah. Yep, sounds like Miss Donna may have given Dr. Rogers some coal. He deserved that, I'm sure. So anyway, yeah, well, it's a fantastic time of the year. The end of the year, Christmas, now the beginning of a brand new year. We get a dusting of snow. Thank you, Lord, for not making me shovel and snow blow while I was under the weather. Thankful we got a few days without snow removal. But that little dusting of snow, isn't it so beautiful? Just covers up anything that was dirty and makes it all white and pure and beautiful. So full disclosure for me, and something to know about me in case you didn't know, but I was one of those kids that as I got different Christmas presents, depending on what they were, but in particular stickers. I was that kind of kid that would just simply save my stickers. Didn't put the stickers on anything, just leave them there, I guess, for future use. I don't know, knowing that, yeah, I probably wasn't going to ever use them, but full disclosure, I'm the guy that would save my stickers. I'm sure my mom just threw them away after some time. I guess it's in me to preserve those gifts, to protect those gifts, and then maybe in my own mind prolong them, like allow me to maybe use them over a broader period. But the cool thing about stickers and tools and stuff, like, if you don't use them, they never wear out. And you don't have to replace them that way. I'm not rationalizing. I'm being fully honest and transparent. Truly, I come from a long line of folks like that. My dad would buy some new tools and hide them in the basement somewhere, and they would never wear out. Never had to replace them that way. I've come a long, long way. So it's interesting. But I've truly, there's this fight within me sometimes to use different things. Like when you spend some time and really get your knife beautifully sharp, you don't want to strip wire with it right away. And you know, you ding it up and then you got to go back through the sharpening process. But there's truly something in me that just, it's a fight to use things sometimes. Like if I preserve it, see, then you don't have to replace it. Well, don't answer out loud, okay? Just think about this. But are you ever like me then with God's gifts? Are we ever guilty of like not using God's gifts as though we're helping him out, preserving these gifts or prolonging them or protecting the gifts so that they don't wear out and that they never have to be replaced? We're engaged in a sermon series about peace. I really appreciated Brother Gary's prayer this morning about peace, and wow, we are so blessed as the family of God and children of God to have a God that not only promised us the future coming Prince of Peace. Back in Isaiah, we looked at several weeks ago, this coming Messiah, this coming Prince of Peace. But then he followed through on that promise, and he actually came through and provided peace in Jesus, the Christ child, God the Son, Emmanuel, God with us. And the baby came and born of that virgin and grew up and lived the perfect life and died the atoning sacrifice on the cross. Jesus is the fulfillment of this promised peace. He's the provision of peace. Well, today, this third part of this series, we're looking at the preservation then of peace, how it is that we can capitalize on the peace that God has given us and offers us through Jesus, and then apply it to our lives and preserve it, that it lasts long and long. Well, today we're in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and these are some very familiar verses. We've actually looked at them before in a kind of a different light, but very similar. But these are some of my favorite verses in all of Scripture because of the clarity that's contained there and just the power and the description that's contained. It's Philippians 4, and we're going to be in verses 6 and 7 today. Two simple verses. What a theme for us, for you and I, to kick off this new year, to look at the old year that's passed away and now the dawning of this new year and how it is that we can possibly live our lives even more devoted and dedicated to Jesus and allow Him to truly make us new from the inside out. Book of Philippians, interesting, very beautiful letter from the Apostle Paul, prison epistle, they call that. Paul wrote it while he was in prison, and he wrote this beautiful love letter, a thank you letter to the church in Philippi for their love and support, financial, emotional, prayer support, even personal, physical support, as they sent a messenger, Epaphroditus, with a gift offering to help support Paul while he was in prison. And then he sent this letter back with the messenger back to the church to really praise them and thank them for their love for the Lord and their love and appreciation for Him. Well, we pick up today winding down this letter near the end. He's just urged a couple of members to get along, to agree in the Lord, to be joyful always, to rejoice in everything. And then we pick up here again in these very familiar verses, verses 6 and 7. Allow me to read God's word. It says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Pray with me. Most gracious and loving Father, we bow our heads this morning, understanding that you are God, that you are sovereign and perfect, and you're all powerful and all knowing, and you are everywhere all at the same time. And Lord, it is our joy and our privilege to gather and worship you here this day. Father, we thank you for your holy word and the power that's contained within it. And Lord, I thank you for this message that you have given to me and laid on my heart. And Lord, I pray that you take it and you speak it through me this morning. I ask you to open up all of our hearts and minds to better understand who you are and what you've done for us, what's possible through you. And Lord, move among us in a mighty way this morning. Lord, I pray that you are richly blessed and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church family said, amen. Amen. So the idea behind today's message is that every follower of Jesus can learn how to preserve God's peace in your own life personally by following what's going on in this particular passage of Scripture. Now, the word, the English word for peace, or the Hebrew word shalom, is such an amazing word. I believe, however, both peace and shalom are misunderstood, to say the least, even mysterious. In some ways, this concept and this idea of peace that's like it's out there, and yeah, we know it's available, but are you ever like me and fall guilty of thinking, well, but maybe it's for the next season of my life, or it's for some other folks, but I can't really have a life full of peace or shalom, completeness and well-being and wholeness. I love that picture image of shalom. May peace and wellness and wholeness be with you. Maybe like me, some of you can relate. It's like, well, yeah, I'll have peace once my youngest one graduates high school and goes on to college or whatever. I'll have peace when I get a raise from my boss and I don't have to worry about money anymore. Or I'll have peace when I get a newer vehicle that I can trust more. There's just this idea or this lure of the possibility of peace sometime in the future once certain expectations that we have are met. I think the word peace or shalom is misunderstood and even mysterious at times. Does the word peace or the concept of shalom mean that you and I will have everything that we want? Like our Christmas list to Santa, it's met and everything that was on it is simply given to us. Is that what it means by God's peace descending upon the earth and us in our lives? Or that we don't have anything that we don't want? We want better health, so we're going to be perfectly healthy. We certainly don't want cancer, so we won't get that. Is that what God and His Word mean by giving us peace? Absolutely not. Most certainly not. God's idea of peace is that even in the midst of not having enough, needing more dollars in our bank account or a better vehicle in the driveway, needing more of whatever or needing less of whatever, the hard things that are being thrown at us, even in the midst of too much or not enough, we're still well. As the song says, it is well with my soul. That's shalom or peace, well-being and wholeness and completeness, no matter where our bank account is or whether Santa left us exactly what we wanted or not under the Christmas tree. It's wholeness and completeness and well-being fully dependent upon our God, nothing to do with us. The cool thing and the wonderful thing about our God is that He promised peace available to earth. This coming Prince of Peace, this Jesus, He promised it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, 700 years before He followed through and fulfilled it in the coming of that Christ child, the beautiful gift of God the baby. Emmanuel, truly God with us. God promised it, and then God followed through with Jesus. And now, the amazing thing about our God is that peace, true shalom, is available through Jesus. Through Jesus Christ, we have peace available in our lives in the midst of ups and downs and hard times and good times. God's peace is ever constant and never changing. We have peace available in our lives, in our relationships, with our bosses and our neighbors and anyone else. We have peace available in life, yes. But even greater, we have peace with the holy and perfect God. The Bible teaches that we were separated from God by our sin, and that through Jesus, we who were far away have been brought near. We've been brought near. That bridge that was caused by our rebellion has been bridged by Jesus. His arms stretched out on the cross, removing sin as far as the east is from the west. We now have peace in life, yes, but even greater peace with this holy and perfect God, the God of the universe. This peace is available now for anyone who will receive this gift of Jesus, this wonderful gift of Jesus. Now, the interesting thing about peace, God's peace, is that it is a gift from God. If you know the fruit of the Holy Spirit, peace is the third gift that's mentioned in the list of gifts of the Holy Spirit. Peace is certainly a gift from God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Peace is a gift from God. It's interesting about this peace that God offers to us because it's not just simply automatic. God doesn't force it upon us. It's available for us. It's like that beautiful wrapping paper. Man, they've come a long way with wrapping paper. There's some gorgeous wrapping paper out there. Some of it's so pretty you don't even want to tear it or whatever, but kids make short work of that. But peace is like this beautifully wrapped gift that's sitting under the tree. It's available. It's got your name on it. But you have to grab a hold of it and unwrap it and open it up and then actually, like my stickers. Use it. Put it on something. This peace is not just automatic. You kind of have to work for it. Well, here in this passage of Scripture are some super simple steps that you and I can do to preserve peace. Find and claim and own and like live in God's peace, but then to preserve it. We know it's available through Jesus, but then to preserve it in our lives. All right, back to God's Word, the very beginning. And these words are so important for us. Think about this for this new year. What a new year's resolution, if you will. Verse 6, the beginning. Don't worry about anything. We could just close in prayer with that one. Think about that. What our life would be like if we truly did. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything at all. Mark Twain said it very well. He said, "Boy, in my life, I had a lot of worries, most all of which never actually came to pass." Think about that. In my life, I had lots of worries, but most of them never actually came to pass. Jesus knew this, knew that concept. He spoke much on it in the Sermon on the Mount. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough cares of its own. It'll take care of itself, but you've got a God, a Father in heaven that knows you and loves you, and He cares more about you than you can ever imagine. Don't worry. One of my friends says, "Don't worry, be happy." I like that idea. God's Word says, "Don't worry about anything." And I know what you're thinking. You're sitting here and you're thinking, "Well, but Pastor, all my worry, it keeps me warm during the winter months. All this worry that I engage, it's what gets me through the dark months and all the time. Like, what in the world would I do if I didn't get to worry?" So you might be saying, "Well, what would we do with all of our spare time and our energy if we didn't use it up on worrying about so many things, most of which will never actually come true?" Well, I'm glad you asked. What are we supposed to do with our time? Look at the rest of this first verse. He says, instead of worrying, don't worry about anything, but then now what should we do? But in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So rather than worry, rather than spend time in stress and anxiety in everything and all these other situations, then instead of worrying, present your requests and your prayers and your petitions to God. Let God know what's on your heart. One of my favorite sayings, let go and let God. Give up and give in. How about the words of the famous song, "Trust and Obey"? Because there's no other way. Trust and obey, give up, give in, submit, surrender, let go and let God. Don't worry about anything, but in everything with thanksgiving, let your prayers and requests be made known to God. I love the words of the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible, here and how it's worded. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I like that word, present your, like a present. Like that present sitting there under the tree, present your requests to God. Give them to God. Wrap them up in whatever paper you want and present them to God. Give them over to God like a gift that you're giving to yourself. Give these worries, these cares, these concerns, these stresses and anxieties, give them over to God. Present them to Him. I love that. Teresa got me a gift that said, "To Kurt from Kurt." It was kind of like one of those things that was like, from me to me sort of idea. And that's a great mental picture of what we are able to do with these cares and burdens. Present them, give them over to God like this gift. And then what happens if we do? What happens when we do this? Well, verse 7 tells us, It says, when we do this with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, verse 7 says, in the peace of God, which how good is it? It surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I love this passage of Scripture. Man, I want to write it on my doorposts above, below, and beside my doors and talk about it at night and when I wake up and as I walk on the street, because this is such a simple steps to God's peace ruling and reigning in each of our lives and our hearts. Notice verse 7, this promise of what will happen as we follow God's word. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses anything we can imagine, will guard our hearts and minds. But it's the peace of God. It's not like your peace will suddenly rise up. You have done enough good work, you know, faithful servant. Your peace now is beefed up and pumped up and strong enough, and your peace will suddenly help you out. No, our God is even bigger than that. And it's the peace of God that's available for you and I. It's the peace of God, remember that gift of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, and peace in our lives. Remember, it's not just automatic. We have to work for it. We kind of gotta struggle for it. And that's our prayer and in our petition. Peace, this peace that he offers, it's his gracious gift. It's a gracious gift of peace. It's his peace, not our own, which, by the way, is far greater than anything we could ever do on our own. It's far greater even than what we can even understand or fathom. This peace that's available, isn't that cool? It's like that gift, like Christmas vacation, Cousin Eddie tells Clark when he gets the jelly of the month. Eddie says, that's the gift that keeps on giving all year long. Clark, this peace of God, that it's greater than anything we can imagine. It's the gift that keeps on giving all eternity long. If we let him give it to us. So how does God's peace work in our lives? That's what's so important. It's interesting. Let me get a drink here. How does God's peace work? Does God's peace, as we discussed earlier, remove all the problems in our life? Does God's peace remove all the difficulties in our life? No, not at all. Remember, we have peace, God's peace, through the midst of the problems and the difficulties. I love the way this passage is worded, because it says, in the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, what it will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How does God's peace work? It guards. It's like, as that word is very specific, it's a military term. It's like the elite Roman guards are standing guard in your own life. It's like God's elite guard is standing guard over your vulnerable areas in your life. Guarding like that, your what? What are our vulnerable areas? Our hearts and our minds. How true is that? Our hearts and our minds are the battleground where worry and stress and fear and anxiety and lies take root and take hold. Our hearts and our minds are where everything stems from. Even sin, it begins in our mind and carries to our heart. That's when it becomes an actual sin. Worry and stress start in our mind and carry over to our heart. And God's peace, which is greater than we can imagine, stands guard over our hearts and minds. That's the battleground where all of this stuff takes place. It's the major battleground. And the peace of God, it's won or it's lost on these two battlegrounds, our hearts and our minds. Now remember that Jesus is the culmination of God's promise of the future of peace for humanity. Before, it was never quite certain because there was animal sacrifices, temporary things offered up, and God's peace was here and there and whatever. Back in the Old Testament times, you had to do things and follow rituals, and then came Jesus. And he fulfilled and completed all of that for us. The promised coming Prince of Peace, he came. And he did what he did on Calvary's cross to offer peace to anyone that will, by faith, receive him as Lord and Savior, be changed and made new, be forgiven, and that separation bridged through Jesus. And now it's up to you and I to preserve that peace, to unwrap it and to have it in our lives. It's available from God. It's God's gracious gift. But unlike your stickers, unlike your tool, your new saw that you got, God's gift will never wear out. God's gift won't expire or go away. So maybe like me, you, this year, this coming 2023, this coming new year, you can turn over a new leaf and not be guilty of not using God's gifts for fear of they might go away, but instead embrace them and truly open up your hearts and minds to a whole new level of submission and surrender to Jesus and allow his peace, which goes beyond anything we can ever imagine, guard your entire life this coming year. Pray with me. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and love you for who you are and for what you've done for us through Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the peace that we have that's available to us. And Lord, I pray that each one of us in our own way would come to that realization of what it means to truly grasp a hold of you and your peace and allow your peace to infiltrate each area of our life. And may others see the calmness and the love and the joy that we have because of our confidence in you. And may they come to want to know who this Jesus is in their own life. So Lord, bless this year. Move among us this coming year. Be glorified through us. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.